Doing all right?
I'm doing good. I feel better. Thank you. What have you seen out of Merrill lately?
What do I see out of Merrill lately? It's funny. We just had a nice little conversation. Well, last night was a obviously, I think early in the game, he felt, if you looked up there, his velocity was really spiking. He really had a good fastball. He saw some 95s, which is a little bit more than what we normally see. So he obviously felt very comfortable with his fastball. Obviously, I think he had a run there where he had five strikeouts in a row. Was throwing the ball extremely well. And then the ground ball base hit up the middle by the catcher. And then I think the four-pitch walk to Senzel just put us in a tough situation. And we just had a poor pitch selection against Drury, I think it was. And obviously the lead evaporated pretty quickly. So it was a combination of a couple little things. I think the thing that upset me the most was not the home run. It was a small thing of Reynolds being able to steal second base when we didn't do a very good job of holding him. I think that was and that ended up being the winning run. So I think those little things that I need to address. Again, I need to revisit some things that we were doing earlier better, and kind of re-up my ideas.
Is there something you see that's causing his control issues over the last 6 weeks or so?
I think it's a case, quite frankly, of it gets back to pitch mix. I think Merrill Kelly has a plus changeup and a plus curveball. I would like him, and this is no secret, I would love for him to up his curveball usage. It's a plus pitch. And I think by getting the curveball over the plate, it doesn't force you to throw. When you throw as many fastballs, sometimes when you get fastball happy, I call it, you end up trying to aim for corners too much. And generally in Major League Baseball, if you look at the numbers, fastballs are used for foul balls, and breaking balls are used for punch outs and getting outs. I think gone are the days where someone is just strictly a strikeout pitcher with the fastball alone. It's just Major League hitters are too good. Nolan Ryan struck out a lot of people, not because of his fastball, just because of his curveball. I think if we get it back to a more proper mix of pitches, I think you'll see his control improve. I think it's become a little bit too fastball heavy.
You mentioned holding runners on. Is that something you work on
Pardon?
With pitchers? You mentioned
runner control. Yeah, it's we need to give our catchers a chance. You know, and on that particular play, I don't care if bench or anybody was behind home plate. We had no chance, and that's the little things that are difference in wins and losses. And you know, had we scored two runs in the ninth inning and won the game, and everybody was happy, I'd still be addressing that situation. So it wasn't a case of losing the game that created it. It was the process.
Is that something y'all practice very much?
Yeah, we bring it up all the time. But you know, it's really difficult sometimes. A pitcher will get into a game and they get focused on making a pitch, for example, and they forget about the little things that seem to crop up.
How did Dallas's start in the complex league go?
A couple people went out there for that start that night. I talked to him this morning. He did fairly well. I think he went about five innings, threw about 80-something pitches. Extremely hot weather. You know, he had not pitched in 14 days, got a little tired. In the fifth inning or so, but there were some positives. I still think we have some work to do in terms of getting the arm strength and the fastball back to where I was hoping it would become. So I'm going to see him on Thursday during our off day. We're going to do a throwing session out at Salt River, and he's going in daily to get his workouts in up at the complex and everything. So I'll have a better read on it on Thursday.
What were the positives that you saw?
Well, the positive I saw, a lot of strikes. His sinker was very good according to the TrackMan data that we got. The thing that I need to get back with him is elevating the fastball, for example. Things that we had done over in Houston that he had kind of gotten away from for whatever reason. And making the realization that, you know, when I had him in 14, 15, 16, 17, that time, this is 2022, and the body changes, the movement patterns sometimes reflect that body change or the different way you go about things. And I think we need to get him back to where he was, or at least as close as possible, because this is this is an ultimate competitor, and really was the guy, as I've mentioned earlier, that kind of led us out of the wilderness, so to speak, in Houston.
It's kind of a rare bad start for Gallen in Philadelphia. I know the air was costly. Were you seeing anything else from him in that game?
Yeah, the same thing that I saw with Merrill Kelly, the fastball heavy approach. That second inning never seemed to want to end, and I think that obviously I've told people that I think this guy is special. I think he has three number one pitches, maybe four, and I think that as I dive into the analytics and the numbers and everything, start to see if there's any kind of sequences that were traps that we're falling into and not utilizing our best pitches to their maximum. I think that was a case of what happened in Philadelphia. Obviously, the air is. But as I've mentioned before, I learned a valuable lesson from my favorite pitcher, Koufax, who he once said, "You really grade a pitcher by the differential between his runs given up and the unearned runs he gives up. If you see a huge differential, then that pitcher is not doing his job. He's not picking up the defense. So it's really easy. Let's say we're two outs, a ground ball guy makes an error to give up five runs. They're all unearned. And you think, wow, what an unlucky pitcher. No, not really. He just didn't pick up his infielder who tries to pick the pitcher up. So it's a relationship here where they're trying to make the plays for you. When they don't make the plays, it's up to the pitcher to make the play. And you really can tell the good pitchers where that earned run, that the unearned runs and the earned runs, there's not a great gap in between, that they're getting. It's kind of like what Noe did for Caleb with what was it, bases loaded or something like that, and so Noe in that position, he gives up a base hit, two run score, he gets the next guy out, those runs are on Caleb's docket, but Noe picked us up. So that's what we've stressed around here, is picking each other up.
What have you seen out of Noe recently, coming out of the pen, that's made him effective, and what have you seen in the games where he hasn't had?
Well, he's had, and if I think back to the bad games he's had, I picked two games. One was in Miami where he got bludgeoned a little bit by a couple home runs early, and then the game in Cincinnati after the rain delay when he was asked to come in and pitch. We were fully prepared at that time to pitch a position player, but as Dave Roberts will tell you, once you get within five runs, the rules do not allow that, and you have to pitch a pitcher. And we had told Noe ahead of time, and all of a sudden, Perdomo hits a grand slam, and it's 9-4, I think. So I would like to think that he was mentally ready to go, and he got the first guy out, I think, struck him out, and then it just snowballed on us and got away. So if you take away those two games, I think he's had a really good year so far. And being a reliever is really difficult when you look at earned run averages. Let's say all you have to have is one or two really bad ones, and it takes you 2 months to right the ship. So I think he's done a nice job. I like the idea of Noe facing Castellanos and Realmuto because of his ability to spin the baseball, and which he did. So it was a big pickup. He was fired up.
What's the plan for Saturday?
Weaver will pitch. Weaver will start the game.
Has it been a thought at all to call up any of those younger guys from AAA? Or?
That's, as ex-President Obama said, that's above my pay grade right now. Okay? You have to talk to the higher-ups on that one. Okay?
Did you like what you saw from Weaver?
Yeah, I thought I liked the fact that I saw 94. I didn't see a variation in velocities. I didn't see the 95, then the 91, or the 90, and then the back. So I saw kind of a consistent velocity. I saw some really good change-ups. Breaking ball still a work in progress, and he threw a couple that were pretty good, but obviously he picked us up. That was an interesting game to win. I was very grateful that Nelly was able to get a 2-1 slider over the plate and get the double play to Harper. Otherwise, we might have been looking at Weaver making his debut with a first and second Castellanos at bat type of situation. So credit to Nelly.
Do you hear any reports about Corbin Martin?
Yeah, they've been very good. Corbin Martin reports have been well, been good. The big thing I'm finding out about the guys in Reno now, they're starting to understand that Reno is Reno, and that they're throwing strikes and they're challenging hitters instead of dancing around the strike zone, which is very easy to do. I was a pitching coach in Albuquerque for a long time, and Tucson, which are two very good hitters' parks, and it's very easy at those levels to try and dance around contact with the hard infields and the altitude and the ball, way the ball carries and everything, and they're starting to realize that they have to challenge people at that level and kind of throw the earned run averages out the window and look at more like strike percentages, swing and miss percentages, first pitch strike percentages, things that really, really matter, are going to matter here more than down there. Okay.
Thanks, Charlie.
You got it, man.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
Okay, guys.
Can I hold it back?